In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is our parish feast day here on the Feast of St. Stephen. It's a great grace to be here at Stephen's Mass. Your pastor, Father Anderson, has allowed us to have me offer this Mass when normally it should be him. It is indeed the parish feast day. It's been a moment asking the Lord what is martyrdom and what it means for us who are here in this year of our Lord. What is martyrdom? Martyrdom is a way of fulfilling the greatest commandment. The Jews, each and every day of their lives, every pious Jew would pray a particular prayer twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. Do you know what prayer that is? The Shema Israel. The Shema Israel prayer, they pray it morning and evening, morning and night, every day, which has those beautiful words that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Martyrdom is a participation in the very suffering of Christ, and it brings the fulfillment of the most ardent faith, hope, and charity of the believer in God. So if one is to accept the grace that is martyrdom, it is to testify to a total surrender of themselves to God's faithfulness. What martyrdom does is it forcefully manifests a hope in the resurrection of this body and one of eternal life, which is far more valuable than this present life, which we know passes away. Martyrdom is the highest expression of a love for someone to love God more than he loves his own natural life. It's the greatest act of love of God and of neighbor that anyone could ever make within the whole of their lives. For what does it say? Our Lord speaks it. He says, greater love hath no man than this, than one should lay down his very life for his friends. Here we find in martyrdom the ultimate expression of that love that we see in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. In the incarnation and in the passion of Christ, these are the two great moments that explain to us how much it is that God loves us. The acceptance of martyrdom shows us how human beings, through the very grace that has been bestowed upon them in Christ, that they are capable of returning love for love. Christ's example of love recapitulated in man's love for God. So that's why today is so important. Today, during this season of Christmas, during this season where we celebrate Christ's gift to us, we see the striking change in the color of vestments. We began yesterday with a change from the penitential violet all the way over to the leaping into the white of purity in the nativity of the divine child. And now, quickly moving on from that innocence to the bloody red of the feast of St. Stephen, marking a gruesome death. Just one day after the joyful feast of the birth of the Lord that is sung with canticle upon canticle, which celebrates God becoming one with us out of love, Emmanuel he is called, we launch directly into the feast of the first martyr. The human heart is naturally startled by this dramatic shift from that white to red, from that joy of birth to gruesome death. But not the Catholic. The Catholic is not startled by this, because the Catholic knows that our Lord Jesus is a child who was born so that he might die. That this child had a death sentence proclaimed upon him long before he himself was conceived. In fact, it was in Eden's garden that sentence was first proclaimed upon him. This child, he was pursued by Herod while still an infant. He was born to shed his blood upon the cross, upon that mount of the skull of Adam. The Christian mystery is that God, the creator of the stars above, as we sing, Conditor Omni Siderum, he gave himself entirely to us that we can completely give ourselves entirely back unto him. Life for life, love for love. He loves us without measure so that we can love him back without measure in return. This means even more than we love our own lives. Martyrdom is also the supreme act of a love of neighbor, because the Christian martyr forgives and prays for those who make him suffer. He offers his own life, the Christian does, for their life, that it might be a salvific act for them as well. The martyr carries the love of enemies as far as it can go, far further than anything of an Old Testament spirituality could even conceive. This is the prime thrust of the gospel, which is why St. Paul proclaims boldly and valiantly something that should be the rallying cry of every Catholic, Caritas Christi urgit nos. That is, the love of Christ, the charity of Christ, compels us, impels us, drives us on forward. What is the result of martyrdom? The result of martyrdom is when a person sees somebody willing to give up what is most valuable. When a worldling sees a Christian despise life itself. When a man so sensually enslaved sees another unswayed by torture. When a materialistic woman sees another willing to cast away all security found in possessions for herself and even for her family, which may be left behind. And all this is done for an idea, for another person, for a God invisible. The human soul is roused to remember its original, that is, its infinite longing, which is staved away by so many possessions and comforts by which it surrounded itself, guarding it from that infinite longing. Things can never fill infinitude. Such a reckless abandon inspires the soul to like greatness because every human person knows that we're born for something more. Not only does the suffering of martyrdom release in that way, the suffering of martyrdom releases great power in it. When St. Stephen faced his final earthbound moments amidst the fury of the hard-hearted Jews, heaven was opened up for him. Our Lord was standing there right before him at the right hand of the power of God. He says, I see the Son of Man there, and that caused all those to erupt in fury upon him. That Lord was calling him home. And this led St. Stephen to immediately do one thing, to pray for his persecutors. Consider that. What unbounded charity, what hitherto unknown love, what power beyond that which light deals a dastardly death. As the saint looked to Christ, this Christ God, and offered his life as each stone blow, our Lord turned his gaze through Stephen to another in the crowd. Christ selected one person to receive the lion's share of this first fruit, indicating him to be the first to receive the faith of his church from this grace. His loving gaze fell upon a man who had coats strewn about his feet, the one who legitimized this Old Testament-style street lynching. And all St. Stephen did was silently nod in agreement with the Lord, saying, yes, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit for this one. It was a perfect sacrifice. A perfect recapitulation of our Lord's passion that purchased the apostolic age's most passionate theologian and evangelist, Saul, the future St. Paul. This shows for you and I in the first martyrdom, the proto-martyr, our patron, the power of suffering, the power of martyrdom, even more so the power of forgiveness, the power of prayer. 5 days ago, it's not long, here in another age of destruction where human flesh still remains to be seen as cheap. The rogue dictator Daniel Ortega, who's terrorized Nicaragua since 2007, arrested Bishop Isidro Mora for the single crime of praying for another bishop. He offered prayer, this other bishop did, for Ronaldo Alvarez, who's been imprisoned for more than a year. And for the crime of offering prayer for him, that he might be strengthened, that he might endure more, that he might give himself more generously to Christ, and so that his exile, and maybe even martyrdom, might create something great for the Church of Christ here within their country, oppressed by this dictator. Because he did that, he himself was taken away from his people. A decree went out that anyone who would pray even for this bishop, a second bishop taken, that they would meet the same end. What do you think that immediately did? It made every priest who would offer the Catholic Mass, every priest who would pray the canon which brings Christ down upon his altar, that everyone who would seek God to be loved and worshipped in the best and most perfect way that he possibly could be, immediately an enemy of the state. Because it's impossible for a priest ever to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass without praying for his bishop. Stories like this can, to a worldling, cause one to cower, to pull back and to say, well, maybe that's a bit extreme. Omit a word and see how you can save yourself. Wouldn't it be better to do much more good by doing a small evil? We as Catholics know that we can never do anything which is evil that a good might be brought about. We are living in the greatest of all possible ages. The most beautiful of all possible times. Here now, the grace of martyrdom is finding itself all the more greatly moving up through the Americas. Right now, they're experiencing it here in Nicaragua. In future times, it'll progress to other places, and maybe we will be blessed soon to experience the same here. Martyrdom, as the ancients spoke, is the seedbed of the church. And so it's something for you and I to pray during this time to see that as we celebrate here today our proto-martyr, one who saw his life as cheap compared to what God's grace could do by taking it back to himself, from whom all life has its origin. Such things should inspire you and I to a greater embracing of what sufferings we have today, that we might be worthy of so many who pay for it so much more dearly. Our prayers can have extreme effect. But indeed, our prayers have greater effect the more they're united to suffering, the more they're united to supreme acts of forgiveness. And so in these days, as we go forward, looking at the example of St. Stephen, which if you really examine it, I'm sure your pastor has preached on this many years before, how it is a perfect foil for what it is that our Lord did upon the cross. Blow for blow, word for word, action for action, it follows exactly what happened to Christ in his passion. So too, your and my prayers and petitions have all the more greater force when not only when they're united with our sufferings, which we get, but also when they're united with forgiveness of those who inflict them upon us. Within the church, we have very many difficulties that are being pressed upon us now. We spoke about these to you this weekend. And it's important that we remain stalwart and standing firm for what truth is in the face of what so many prevarications and lies are that are spoken. Stand firm upon the truth, which is unchanging. A church which is always ancient and ever new, but never leaves her foundation. Therefore, rather than being locked in some sort of antagonism toward those who strike us or seek to push us from our mooring founded upon Christ and his gospel, what is the Catholic to do? Exactly as Stephen, exactly as Christ, with eyes fixed firmly upon Christ. Even as they hurl stones at us, try to unmoor us from our position founded upon the rock which is Christ. To pray just as St. Stephen did, as Christ. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, as each blow hits me, let another blow hit them. Not to destroy their life, but so that they can have the life which they steal from me added to their account, that they might attain to the eternal life which I too hope to attain. This is how the Catholic suffers. This is how the Christian suffers. There is great power in suffering, great power in martyrdom, great power in forgiveness, and great power in prayer. And so as the difficulties, we see them unfold in various places throughout the church, as we look back and see how the saints of old, our patron, suffered through just the same, then we know how it is that we will be victorious even over these things which seek to overturn all that was held before. The faith which we profess is at the same time ancient and new, that what has happened before will happen again, and yet Christ is the same constant that flows through all. So through the intercession of our patron, St. Stephen, through the glorious results of his martyrdom which purchased for the church a great one like Paul, so too whatever it is that you and I and those who are suffering now in Nicaragua and elsewhere throughout the world, think of what great grace is if offered that suffering, if offered that martyrdom, if offered with forgiveness, if offered with ardent prayer. What same graces might be foretold for an age after such difficulties pass. Our Lord made that proclamation as he prayed. How have I longed to gather you under my wings, like a mother hen seeks to protect her own children. But you would not have it. Our Lord seeks to gather you and I, if we'll make it under his wings as a mother hen. Let's trust in his protection and ask him for the grace that through these examples which are constantly visited upon a church in such great glory, that we might be able to be faithful as those who have gone on before. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.